Let's get our Bibles out this morning. We're going to talk about prophecy this morning. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know, we need to know how to live for God, but we also need to know and have a good understanding of what living for God is all about. And what is it going to produce in my life? What is it going to do for me? Amen. Well, it's pretty exciting when you look at it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Oh God, help us here today. Daniel was quoted by Jesus, and we're going to focus on the New Testament, the Old Testament, but I really want to focus on the man of sin that is going to rise, and I believe that he is already alive on this earth, and that he is making preparations, that Satan is making preparations for the Antichrist to come and to rule this world for just a short season. But let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning as we approach prophecy. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of truth. We thank you, Lord. Give us understanding. In so many things, Lord, we lack understanding. And you told us that if we would ask, you would give it to us. Help us to understand this morning and to see the truth of your word in Jesus' name this morning. And somebody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I intend to spend a little bit of time this morning in Daniel chapter 11. So if you will go to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31, it would be impossible this morning to go over all of the prophecies in the Bible concerning the coming of the Lord. But what we have tried to focus on is the major prophecies, prophecies that are a little bit more easily understood, that give us a sense of where we are in this world. We are in a time, and I would say this morning, we are in the only time in the history of man that some of these prophecies could actually come to pass. In the days of Scripture, it would have been impossible for these things to come to pass, but in our generation, they are coming to pass before our very eyes. Amen. And at the very same time, the church is asleep. Amen. At the very same time, there is a church that's on fire for God and a church that is resting on its heels. Amen. I don't want to be resting. I want to be busy for the work of God. I'm not doing it for any person. I'm doing it for him completely. And if I don't get a pat on the back, that's all right. I'm just not looking for the praises of men. I want the praises of God. Well, praise the Lord. But Daniel had a real understanding, or he saw in his visions some things that are quite extraordinary. Here was this young man in Babylon. He had been made a eunuch in Babylon. Yes, he was in a position of authority in Babylon. But Daniel saw some things that the Lord wanted us to see. We saw last week where the image, where we talked about the image and we talked about Daniel's 70 weeks And the Bible says, in the days of these kings, in other words, the feet of iron and clay, in the days of those kings shall the Lord set up a kingdom on this earth that shall never end. Amen. And we showed historically where we are. We are historically in prophecy at the point where we are at the feet of iron and clay. But here Daniel goes into another vision and or the word of the Lord that comes to him. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. And let's look at it here this morning. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. And it's talking about this king that is going to rise up. And the king is going to pollute the sanctuary of God. It says, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And so what I see in this right here, you can't have a daily sacrifice in the temple or in the sanctuary until there is a temple or a sanctuary. Amen. And in our day, there is much talk. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has already stated that the temple will be built in Jerusalem. It is something that is in the works right now. From what I understand, all of the vessels. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Lord's not going to come down in the temple like he did with Solomon, because now we are the temple of the Lord. But this fits into prophecy. This is a prophetic thing. They have all that they need, from what I've read and looked at, to rebuild this temple, and they figure they could do it in 1 year's time. That's how quickly they could assemble the temple and begin their sacrifices. But the Antichrist is not going to sit in the shadows here. He is going to come to a place where he will go into the temple of God, into the rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem. And he will make himself out to be God, and will make folks to come and worship him. Now, we know that he will be possessed by Satan himself, and it makes sense, because from the very beginning, Satan wanted to be above God. Amen. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshiped like God is worshiped. And so he will come and he will do this. Let's go to verse 32, the latter part of verse 32. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." And there will be a time of trouble. In fact, I believe this morning, and I preached this for many years, that we in Matthew chapter 24, and you don't have to turn there this morning, the chapter of prophecy in the book of Matthew, that we are in the beginning of sorrows. Now, I don't really believe that anyone really understands how long that is going to last. But if you notice, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was an overlap. There was an overlapping of time. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem, and we celebrate that on Christmas Day. But it was not on his birth that he brought redemption for us. It was about 33 or 33 and a half years later that he went to Calvary and shed his precious blood for you and I. I'm thankful for that this morning. And so there was an overlapping time period between the old and the new, where something was coming into existence and coming into play that was not there in the old, and it had not completed the new. It wasn't until he resurrected, and it wasn't until he ascended and sent the Holy Ghost that the church age began. The church age began on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Some people say, well, the thief on the cross, he had salvation. You've got to understand this morning that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He was the one that gave the law. He did not break the law when he said that, but he was still under the Old Testament. When Jesus hung on the cross, he was still in the Old Testament, because there is no New Testament until the death of the testator, according to Scripture. And so there was an overlapping. Now, you may disagree with this, and that's fine. I'm not preaching all of this here this morning as doctrine, but as I see it in the Scriptures and as I have looked at it and studied it out, but I believe that there will be an overlapping of time from the church age to the millennium. Amen. There will be a time frame or an overlapping of time where the Antichrist will come into power, but the church will still be here. Amen. But there will be an overlapping of time until the day of rapture. Amen. And when the day of rapture takes place, the church will be gone, and that which is withholding the Antichrist from full authority and power on this earth will be gone. And he will magnify himself. He will look at that and say, I now have authority and power. And I'm telling you, I'm very thankful that America stands up against countries that are dictatorships, because when someone has ultimate power and authority, they can do a lot of damage. And it doesn't matter where it's at. It doesn't matter if it's on the job or anywhere else. Someone that has complete authority, they can do some really bad things. And that's what people do. But think about what the devil can do and what he will do when he believes that he has ultimate authority and power on this earth to do whatever he wants to do. And he will do a lot of bad things, and there will be lots of destruction, and literally billions of lives will be lost in the great tribulation that God will bring upon this world and that Satan will promote, amen, while he is here. And yet in the middle of all of this, and this is where I want to be, the people that do know their God. Everybody said that, know their God. They know their God. Amen. If you have money as your God, you're going to talk about him, and you're going to know all about him. Amen. If material things are your God, you're going to know all about it, and you're going to go to it regularly. But if your God is the Lord God of heaven, amen, we've got to know him. I want to know him. And that's what Paul said, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And this is where the church is going to be. But it is not without persecution. Now we look at Pentecost, and there were 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, right? And then after that, there were multitudes, and it was estimated that the church in Jerusalem was about 50,000 strong. That's a pretty good-sized church. Amen. Lots of ministry going on in a 50,000-member church. And yet, the revival was so big and great, there was a great persecution that was taking place at the same time. And Stephen was stoned to death, and then they arrested Peter and was going to kill him. And there was a great persecution, according to Scripture, and so great that people had to flee for their lives or die. Amen. And that was probably the will of God, because wherever they went, they preached the Word of God. And Satan tried to stamp out the main fire, and all he did was spread embers everywhere else. Amen. Kind of like my neighbor, his grass caught on fire one year, and I pulled up to the house, and he was out there with a blanket, and he was trying to smother, he was trying to beat that fire out, and it was getting bigger and bigger. He was really spreading it around when he did that. And that's what the devil does when the church rises up. He's going to try to rise up as well. Amen. Don't look at revival as everything is going great. Look at it as the fact that God is moving. And God is moving in this world. Amen. He gave us these prophecies so that we could understand what would be going on in the last days. And many will fall by the sword, by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And so some of them of understanding, yes, there's going to be revival. They that do know their God shall do exploits. But it goes on down and it says that those of understanding, and I see that as people that we have leaned upon and we have looked up to as people that are great among us. The Bible said they shall fall, and they shall show their true colors, and folks get upset with that, and they get discouraged with that. But after you've lived for the Lord a little while, it's almost like nothing will surprise you. Amen. There will be those that go away to other doctrines. They will go away and they will leave us because they were not of us. But it is not to discourage the church or to discourage you in your walk with God. For you see, troubles and tribulations are designed to draw us closer to God. And them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end. All the way to the end of the church age, there's going to be a purging, there is going to be a trying, there is going to be the bride making her robe white with the blood of the Lamb all the way to the very end. You see, you got to get it all in the right perspective. Amen. And this is where the people of God who are here are going to do exploits. But there will be a time of tribulation, and I say that not the tribulation that God brings, but troubles that will proliferate on the face of the earth. And if you haven't been paying attention, I'll just tell you this morning, there is a lot of trouble brewing in our world right now. There is a lot of trouble. There are major situations in our world that we are facing, many that we don't even know about, that would keep us up at night if we knew about it. But verse 36, let's go a little bit further here. And the king, I believe this is talking about the Antichrist, the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. That's our God this morning. And he's going to speak against it. Do you know this morning that we are in a time where it seems like evil is prospering? Have you noticed that? Well, it's right here in the book of Daniel, and it says, he shall exalt himself, magnify himself. He's going to do according to his own will. And then it says, he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Amen. And so he will rise and he will do his own thing, and he will magnify himself above every god. The Bible does tell us here, and we'll read it here in just a moment, it tells us the God that he will follow, but in his estate he shall honor. That doesn't mean that he is submissive to it, but that he will honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Amen. So he will magnify himself above every god, and he will speak and he will speak against the God of gods, but he will honor the God of forces. We are seeing this very God of forces in our world today, and I believe that the God of forces is the God of nature. Amen. The worship of nature, which is exactly where evolution comes from. And this is where atheism comes from, that nothing came about by God, but it was because of natural selection, or it was because over the course of time we just evolved into where we are today. That's smart to folks that think they're smart, but to those of us that have understanding, it's real dumb. Amen. Please forgive my English this morning, but it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And the mantra of the evolutionists is, given enough time, anything can happen. Well, we've had a lot of time, and computers didn't evolve out of the dust with Windows 10 on them. Praise God. We're more complex than that, and we have much more ability than that computer program and system would have, and yet it is amazing that none of that has happened. They said that the odds of evolution being a real thing would be the same odds as a hurricane blowing through a junkyard and putting together a 747 jumbo jet. It's just not going to happen. Amen. And they can't answer the question where the junk came from in the junkyard to make the 747. They can't tell you where the elements came from. They can't tell you how it all started. They have their idea, and they said it was a big bang where all this material came together. And somebody simple-minded asked and said, where did the material come from? Amen. And where did time come from? And if we're here today, where did all the data come from? Because we are a result of an awful lot of data. And in your DNA, there is data that tells you how tall you're going to be. It tells you everything about your life. And it is so complex and complicated that it would be literally an impossibility, even after 12 or 13 billion years, for it to randomly come together and put together a complex system like you and I, let alone a complex system like a single cell. Amen. It is absolutely amazing how people will fall for the God of forces. You say, well, how or why would they fall for such a God? It is simple this morning. If you don't have a God and morality is subjective to however you feel, then morality goes out the window and you can do whatever you want to do without guilt or condemnation. And that's where our world is headed in a big hurry. Amen. And thus he shall do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Amen. And this man, this Antichrist, is going to rise, and he is described here. He will go after other gods and honor the God of nature, the God of forces, until the appointed time, because the time is appointed, and he only has a short time on this earth. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. I hope you don't mind all of this reading of the scripture, but if we look at it here, it starts to make perfect sense. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, and at the time of the end, amen. That's what we want to look at this morning, the time of the end. Shall the king of the south push at him? And so we know this morning that the Antichrist will be here, but there's going to be a lot of people that don't like all of his authority. They're going to push against him. They're going to rise up against him. Let's look at it. And the king of the north. Now, when you look at directions, I believe in prophecy it is relative to Israel, or more specifically to Jerusalem. And if you go to the king of the south, at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. And so when you go south of Israel, you have the Arab nations. And then you go to the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and overflow and pass over. And so if you go straight north out of Jerusalem, it will intersect with Moscow, Russia. And so we see an inference, at least, that there will be the nation of the north coming down. There will be those in the south that will rise up against him. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. This makes sense, because if he is going to take away the daily sacrifice, he will have to be in Jerusalem. He will have to be where the temple is. And so the nations around are going to gather themselves together. You say, well, they are the people of God. I'm telling you, historically, they are the people of God, but they are the central focus of Bible prophecy. And if you look honestly today at the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel is very secular, meaning that they go toward the liberal bent. Amen. And everything goes, and everybody's free to do whatever they want to do. Israel is very, very much like America. Amen. And we have people that are very conservative in power and authority right now, because everybody is afraid of the 100,000 rockets that are aimed at them right now, and houses that are being blown up. Just yesterday, I'm sorry, the first of this last week, seven people were injured. A house was totally demolished by a rocket that was shot towards Tel Aviv, which is the largest city in Israel, very, very modern city. And folks are looking for security, and the only ones that are promoting security are those that believe in the God of their fathers. Amen. But there is much sin and there is much wickedness in Israel, but it is the centerpiece of Bible prophecy. And it talks about Edom and Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon. You can go and find those in the country of Jordan, which is just east of Jerusalem, actually borders Israel. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries. And here it describes the land of Egypt shall not escape. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and all the precious things in Egypt. And so they're going to rise up against him, but he is going to push against them, and it will not succeed, at least for a point in time. And then it says the Libyans, and so there's the country of Libya, which is in the southern areas, and the Ethiopians, which is not far from Egypt, shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Amen. He will plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. I'm not really sure what that means, but the glorious holy mountain in the Old Testament was Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is in the country of Saudi Arabia. And if you see, if you want to look in the Middle East and see where the silver is, excuse me, where the silver is and where the gold is, all you have to do is go to Saudi Arabia. All you have to do is go to these countries that are mega wealthy, and it's, I believe, speaking of that. And he will conquer these things for a season and a time. Amen. We are looking at it happening right before our very eyes. All of the pieces of the puzzle are coming together in Bible prophecy. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. This is the scripture that we read this morning in beginning. And it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Amen. We know what that book is this morning. It is the book of life. Praise God. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And so there is a church that is outreach-minded. There is a church in the last days of people who are interested in turning many to righteousness. Amen. Like Noah. The Bible talks about Noah, and it says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Noah was a preacher. Amen. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he told the inhabitants of the earth, as many as he could get a hold of, "There is a coming judgment of God upon this earth, and you've got to get ready for it." Noah was a success in that he saved his wife and his three sons and their wives. There were eight people that were saved. 120 years of outreach, 120 years of telling the story over and over and over again, and only his family was saved. I would say this morning that Noah was a great success. Amen. I would say that he did the will of God and everything worked out for him and his family. I would say that the world was the loser of the situation. Amen. Because there is coming a time when Michael, the great prince, shall stand up and for the children of his people. And at that time, when Michael stands up, many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so there will be a resurrection. Amen. and everybody that sleeps in the dust that knew Christ, amen, that were baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, born again of the water and of the Spirit, the Bible says they will be caught up in caught up together, amen. I'm not going to read that one just quite yet. And they that be wise, everybody said wise. Wise. Amen. I heard something just the other day and it touched me. And, you know, I want to be wise. How many of us have ever made a mistake? All right. I'm in good company here this morning because we've all made mistakes. But that doesn't mean that you're not wise. Amen. Wisdom comes through making mistakes. Wisdom comes through all kinds of situations. And what the word poverty means, or a good definition of the word poverty, is someone who will not accept responsibility. Now think about that this morning. They will not accept financial responsibility. And what does the word prosperity mean? Amen. The word prosperity is someone who accepts responsibility. And so you have poverty and you have prosperity. One that does not want to accept responsibility, and the wise who accepts responsibility. Amen. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I don't have any responsibilities. All I'm going to do is wake up and play all day. All I'm going to do is have fun. That's all that life is about when you're young. Amen. But there is a time when we put away childish things. Somebody help me this morning. We put away childish things and we become a man. We become a woman. And we stand up to our responsibilities and we say, whatever it takes, I've got to get this done. Amen. Whatever it takes to financially bless my family, that's what I'm going to have to do because I have accepted responsibility. And those that do not accept responsibility will be turned away from prosperity into poverty. And here it says, in another place, they that know their God shall do exploits. But here it says, the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so what we have this morning, God did not give us money, but God gave us the treasures of heaven. Well, praise the Lord. Is your Bible collecting dust at home? When was the last time you went to your Bible app and listened to the Word of God for a season of time? Amen. It's very important, folks. We've got to be wise with what we have. When was the last time you took time to pray and seek the Lord until you felt like there was a release? Amen. Well, praise God. Like I said before, there's going to be an on-fire church, and there's going to be a church that's resting on its heels. I've determined in my mind I'm not going to be the second, but I'm going to be the first. Amen. I'm going to be what He wants me to be. What I have is not my own. I'm just a steward. I'm a steward over this body that God put me in. I'm a steward over the congregation that God has given me. Amen. I'm a steward over the money that passes through my hands. I am a steward of the time that God gives me every day. It is really heaven's currency. Amen. And we spend it every day, whether we want to or not. We receive it and we spend it all in one day. Amen. Tomorrow it's going to be April 1st. What have we done this last month? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on us. I'm just trying to stir your heart this morning to understand that poverty is someone who does not accept responsibility. And prosperity is someone who accepts responsibility. Amen. We have a responsibility tonight, or this morning rather, in that God has given to us the treasures of His kingdom and what we do with it. Some only have one talent, some have two, some have five. Amen. Whatever you have, it really doesn't matter, but it does matter whether or not you are responsible for somebody else's goods. Amen. Everything you've got, everything you'll ever have has been given to you. You say, I worked really hard for what I have. No doubt about that. I'm not taking that away. But who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you a mind to work? Who gave you a country where you could actually have a livable wage? Amen. Who gave you the wisdom and understanding to do what you do? I'm here to say this morning, everything I have has been given to me. Amen. My education was given to me. Everything I know today was given to me. I didn't come up with it on my own. Amen. Everything I learn from books that I read that other people have discovered. Amen. I might come up with one or two bright ideas, but after a while I figure out they're probably not as bright as I thought they were. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. They that be wise. You know, this goes right into Bible prophecy this morning, because here we are at the time of Daniel's trouble. Amen. Michael is going to stand up, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. Amen. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. If you'd like to turn with me, that's fine. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. And Jesus quotes or speaks about the prophet Daniel. And he said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and that's what we've already read this morning and looked at, stand in the holy place. Amen. In other words, get in church and stay in the church. Get in the holy place. Amen. Give your life to God and serve Him. That's the place to be where I can hear preaching. Amen. That's the place I can go to have my faith built up. That's where I need to be, because there's an altar there. Amen. The Word of God is there. God is among us. For He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. He's here this morning. There is an innumerable company of angels that are here this morning. We sit in heavenly places this morning. Amen. When you see the abomination of desolation, I did a little bit of research on that, and some said that it was, I believe his name was Antiochus Epidamus or something like that, the fourth. They had some really wild names back in those days, that he was the one that brought a Roman idol into the temple and caused the abomination of desolation. And I looked at that and I researched it a little bit, but he didn't live until about 265 A.D. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., so it could not be talking about the temple that was the second temple that was there in Jerusalem that was destroyed by the Romans. Amen. And so the abomination of desolation is actually talking about the third temple. Amen. It's got to be talking about the third temple, in which the Antichrist shall sit in the temple saying that he is God, and he will honor the God of forces, and there will be idolatry brought in the city that God put his name right in the face of God Almighty. And God's going to say, it is finished. Amen. This will be the abomination of desolation. This is the crossover point with God. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. I've asked God for wisdom in this because this is, there's a lot to this, and there's a lot of scriptures here that we need to understand. But I believe he said, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Amen. And Daniel said, stand in the holy place. The Bible says, when you've done all, just stand. Amen. Amen. Praying with all prayer and supplication. But when you've done it all, when you've prayed all your prayers and you've labored for God and you've witnessed and you've talked to people about the Lord and you've prayed and you've given, when it's all said and done, folks, there's going to come a time with the New Testament church that we're all just going to have to take a stand. Just going to have to take a stand. Amen. And that's all I can do is stand. Amen. And let the chips fall where the chips fall. I've got a little something I want to share with you this morning before we finish. But in verse 21 of Matthew 24, if you'll go down to verse 21, first of all, he speaks of Daniel in verse 15, and then in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Amen. That is a bad time. Amen. That is great tribulation that the earth has never seen before. The earth will reel and rock and go to and fro like a drunkard, Isaiah said. And in another place in the scriptures, and we read it throughout this series, that the earth shall utterly be broken up. It shall not stand, because the iniquity of the earth is going to be heavy upon it. Amen. It will not be able to function as a planet anymore because the iniquity of the earth will be heavy upon it. Amen. I thank God for revival. I thank God for a move of His Spirit. Amen. All I know to say, if it's not happening here, I'm just standing and I'm being faithful and I'm preaching another message and we're having another service. We're getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And we're inviting as many as we can and we're reaching out and we're teaching. Amen. We're teaching Bible studies. We're sending out flyers and invitations. Hey, I'm telling you what, I can't make it happen. There's only one who's in control of this world when it comes to Bible prophecy, amen, and that's God Himself. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And He didn't say you'd reap it in this life, but He said you're going to reap it. Amen. I don't want to be a church attender. I want to be an active participant in what God is doing in these last days. Praise God. I don't want to be in this tribulation that will be so great. The world has never seen anything like it, and it shall not be again. Worse than the flood that came in Noah's day. Because the Bible says the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and judgment will be because of fire. Amen. Daniel 12 and verse 4. And we read that, Daniel 12, verse 1 through 3, but verse 4, he said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And so the scriptures that we've read this morning from Daniel 11 and Daniel chapter 12 are literally speaking about the time of the end, or the end times. If there's any doubt in your mind this morning that we are in the end times, throw that doubt away. We are living in the end times. He said, shut up the book, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Amen. knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge is growing in our generation like it has never grown in the history of humanity. We have so much technology today that it, I think, is in a lot of ways becoming our God. But I want to look at the catching away of the church. Y'all still have a little bit of time? I'll let you get home before the chicken burns. Psalm 47 in verse 5 says, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Praise God. A indication here that there is a going up. It's like the days of Noah. Noah was risen up above the judgment and then came back down to a new earth. Amen. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That sounds just like what Daniel said, that many shall rise up from the dust of the earth. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, when the ark is risen up, when the church is risen up, the only thing left for this world is a tribulation that it has never seen and it will never see again. You want to make it in the rapture, friend. You want to go when Jesus said, let's go. Amen. You want to go when the time comes. Amen. You don't want to be like the five foolish virgins whose oil is not up to the full mark, and they're going to run out of oil when the door is knocked or when someone comes and opens the door. Amen. I want to go through that door. Because when the door is open, it's open for everybody. But when it's shut, it is shut for everybody. The door is going to be shut. The day will come. You know, I've heard of the Left Behind series and things that people are going to go through after the tribulation, or after the rapture, rather. And I think it's foolishness. It was so great of a publication. It was one of the best sellers at one point in time. And I think because the church is looking for something, I say the church, I'm talking about in general in our society, the church is desperately looking for teachers having itching ears. Amen. They are looking for someone to tell them their lifestyle is okay, that everything is going to be all right, but it's not all right. Amen. We are going to be caught up with him and be with the Lord forever. All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to finish here in just a few moments. Revelation 13 and 14. Here it's speaking about the Antichrist, and I wanted to focus on that just a little bit more this morning. And it says, he deceiveth them, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so when the Antichrist has the authority that we read there in the book of Daniel, he will be over those Middle Eastern countries, and it is very obvious to me in the book of Revelation here, which incidentally mirrors the book of Daniel quite a bit, that the Antichrist will get his hand upon the throat of every individual on the face of this earth. That there will be for gain. Amen. The Bible said he will do it for gain. And so there is money involved here. There are the top financiers of the world, the people who want to have total control for their own personal gain. And the Antichrist will be right there with them. And the Bible says that they should be killed if they do not worship the image of the beast. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That would be 666. Let me read something I found just the other day, and I did some research to find out if it's true, and by the indication that I have found, it is true. And the headline, I've got it right here on my phone here, and it's this. By 2030, the UN plans for each person to have a biometric identification which will be approved worldwide. The information of every human being will be stored in a universal database located in Geneva. And this United Nations organization is addressed to all the governments of the world which impose universal biometric identification. This new program is a model for the new world order, and if you enter the sub projects for these new global goals, you'll find things that are very alarming. The article reads, and it goes on to say that the system collects the face, the iris, and the biometric data from the fingerprints, settling in the only official documentation for refugees. They want to know who you are and where you live, where you are at any point in time. And they said that they are actually, and I did check this out, and it checks out, that in Europe right now, every migrant, every refugee that is coming into Europe, maybe you've read about that, They are receiving a universal biometric identification, and it tells who they are, where they've come from, and that way there can't be any imposters or any of that situation. My friend, if you're not stirred by the events that are taking place in our world today, you need to get stirred up about it. Amen. Not stirred up where you get angry and that becomes the focus of your life, but stirred up to get down on your knees and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, because Jesus is coming very soon. Amen. Amen. And the only way to be ready is to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, to obey Acts 2:38. Amen. And John 3:5, where Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I want to enter into the kingdom of God. The signs of the times are everywhere, and it is so close, I feel like that it should make us think about it every day. Amen. Amen. Because Jesus said, "You don't know the day that I'm coming." You need to be ready every day. Amen. You know, all of us are held up between heaven and earth, Scripture says, by a silver cord. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? By a silver cord that could be broken in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We prayed for a long time for a young lady, 16 years old, all of a sudden came down with a lung condition, and she passed away just recently, 16 years old. You might think that you've got all that time and all of that, and maybe you do, and I pray that you do, so you can do something for God. But none of us have a guarantee this morning. None of us have a guarantee that we'll make it through this day. None of us have a guarantee that any of these things are going to take place with us personally. But all the Lord has to do is cut the silver cord, and the spirit that God gave will go back to God, the Bible says. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to go in the rapture? Are you ready? Are you willing to serve God with all of your heart? You say, well, I got all these plans for my life. How's that all going to work out? I'm telling you, God can take your plans and he can add to it the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Word of God. Amen. And he can set you to work in the kingdom of God. Some of us this morning, it's not going to happen, Brother Keith. We're not going to come up with a new plan. We're not going to go start a mega church right now. We're too old. Brother and Sister Tucker, we're not going to look for a new plan. We're going to focus on God and we're going to live for God. But I'm telling you this morning, there's enough youth in this church that we could set this whole area on fire with the gospel if we would just do it. And I'm not being critical, and I'm not trying to be condemning or anything, but there's a will of God for every one of you here this morning. There is a plan. There is a purpose. There is a call of God. And I'm not going to take my time and waste it with other things that are not important. I want to focus on the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. There could be a preacher of a church of 1,000 sitting here this morning. There could be, well, I could just go on and on. Amen. I think a lot of times I'm just going to go and do this. And then I think, I don't have the energy to go do something like that. I've already been there. I've already done that. I'm fulfilling the will of God right now in my life. But there's some that are here this morning and you have not found the will of God yet. Don't just sit on your heels. Don't just rest your time away and say, oh, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy to get involved. Well, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when Michael stands up for the people of God. And the trumpet is going to sound. Somebody said it's Gabriel. It'll either be Gabriel or Michael. I don't know which one. But it really doesn't matter. When that mighty angel stands up, when he does the will of God, there's one scripture where a mighty angel stands up. Now think about this. I cannot imagine it. Where one angel is going to stand up and he's going to have one foot on the earth and one foot in the sea. Another angel is going to come out of the sun, and he's going to have a fiery censer in his hand, and he's going to throw it down to the earth, and earthquakes and thunderings and voices are going to take place. I don't understand all of that, but I'll tell you what, I don't want to be here when that censer of fire comes down and strikes the earth, and multitudes of people are destroyed simply because I wanted to play church. Simply because I wasn't that serious about eternity. Somebody this morning needs to get serious about eternity. Need to get serious about it. Amen. Because it's coming. Whether you know it or not, it's coming. Can we stand together this morning? Praise God. I hope you've gotten something out of these messages on Sunday morning for the last month. I know I have enjoyed it, and I don't intend to stop preaching about prophecy. This isn't just a fad that we're going through here, but I believe that it could be any moment that Jesus would come. Come on, let's pray together right now. Somebody lift your voice with me. God, I don't need a cheerleader to worship. Lord, I don't need a cheerleader to pray. I want to seek your face with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Touch us this morning. Stir our hearts this morning, Lord. Lay your hand upon us this morning. Touch these young people this morning. Lay your hand upon them with the will of God for their lives. Help them to see. Help them to be wise and to take responsibility for the things that you've given them. I pray for every adult that's here this morning that you will help us to prosper. You said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that prosperity comes by taking responsibility, accepting responsibility, and doing what's right, no matter how hard it is, no matter what it takes. I want to be blessed. I want to be used. I want to do the will of God in my life. Come on, just a moment longer this morning. Come on, let's lift our voice, church.